E, Indian Lake. It's 8 o'clock.
Good morning. This is Northern Light for Friday, December 3rd. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
A day after the first known U.S. case of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 was found in California, tests yesterday showed the Omicron variant has infected at least five people in New York City, plus a man from Minnesota who had attended an anime convention in Manhattan. Governor Kathy Hochul says the arrival of the Omicron variant, though, is not a surprise.
This is not cause for alarm. Again, it was foreseen ever since it was first reported out of South Africa that we knew it would come to New York State at some point. And I want all New Yorkers to know that their state government, in collaboration with our local governments, our cities and our counties, are prepared for this.
A new exhibition called Native New York seeks to expand visitors' understanding of Native American places in New York State. We talk with the curator of the exhibit at the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian in New York City. She hopes it will help dispel misinformation.
The $24 mythology of the sale of Manhattan, the idea that Manhattan is also a Native word, Manahata, which means the place for gathering hickory.
All of that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by the Depot Theater, the Adirondack's only Actors Equity affiliated company, physically distant, artistically connected, professionally produced. Learn more at depottheater.org. And by NCC Systems, a veteran-owned company protecting North Country businesses and homes for 48 years, offering cameras, security, fire alarms, and entry control. NCCSystems.com.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. The Omicron variant is in New York. Five cases have been confirmed now, four of which are in New York City. However, Governor Kathy Hochul says it's no cause for alarm. The news comes as new cases of coronavirus continue to spike in portions of upstate. From Albany, Karen DeWitt reports.
Hochul says a Minnesota resident who was at a conference in New York City in mid-November is the first known case of the Omicron variant in the state.
Just recently we learned from the Department of Health in Minnesota that one of their constituents has tested positive for Omicron. This individual had spent time in New York City. They were at a conference at the Javits Center.
The person had only mild symptoms that have since resolved. Hochul says state health officials are working with the Javits Center and advises anyone who was at the center between November 18th and 22nd to get tested for the virus. The governor says the best response is for those who have not yet received vaccines to get their shots, those who are fully vaccinated to get a booster shot, and for everyone to be ready for more Omicron cases.
This is not cause for alarm. Again, it was foreseen ever since was first reported out of South Africa that we knew it would come to New York State at some point. And I want all New Yorkers to know that their state government, in collaboration with our local governments, our cities and our counties, are prepared for this.
Hochul already declared a state of emergency last week. It will allow her to ban elective surgeries at hospitals where bed and staffing capacity is at less than 10%. Over 50 hospitals in upstate New York meet that criteria. The surgery cancellations could begin as early as Friday, and the ban would continue until January 15th. Hochul says for now, though, she is not issuing any new mask mandates or ordering economic shutdowns.
I'm not prepared to shut down schools or the economy at this time, no. That is not a necessary response. That would be considered an overreaction.
Hochul, at the briefing, also introduced the state's new health commissioner, Dr. Mary Bassett. She formerly served as New York City's health commissioner. Bassett replaces Dr. Howard Zucker, who was appointed by former Governor Andrew Cuomo. Zucker, who resigned, oversaw nursing home policy during the height of the pandemic in 2020. The state's attorney general found that during that time, the Cuomo administration undercounted nursing home deaths by 50%. Those incidents are the subject of a federal investigation. Cuomo resigned in August over a sexual harassment scandal. Bassett, who was the first African-American health commissioner, says she is no stranger to crisis. She worked in Africa at the height of the AIDS epidemic and oversaw New York City's response to Zika, Ebola, and Legionnaires' disease outbreaks. She says throughout that, she's learned the importance of truth-telling.
I'll tell the governor what we know, what we don't know, and what our best judgment is, and I'll tell the public the same thing.
Hochul's event comes as her political opponents are criticizing the governor's COVID policies. State Attorney General Tish James, who, like Hochul, is running for governor in 2022, says the governor is not doing enough for communities with low vaccination rates. Long Island Congressman Tom Suozzi, who's also running, recommends the return of Cuomo-era microzones to impose restrictions and help contain the spread of the virus. Hochul did not address her opponent's criticisms. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
As Karen said, the Omicron variant has been detected in a Minnesota resident who spent time in New York City at a recent anime convention at the Javits Center. Health Commissioner Bassett is urging anyone who attended the convention to get tested. The other four cases of Omicron found so far are likely unrelated to that convention. Meanwhile, five new deaths from the coronavirus were reported in the North Country yesterday. And Franklin County has declared a state of emergency effective immediately due to, quote, the high risk of the spread of the COVID-19 virus.
In a letter, the county's legislative chairman said despite the county's diligent efforts, high transmission of the COVID-19 virus is leading to significant public health consequences. On Thursday, yesterday, Franklin County reported 86 new cases, by far the highest single-day total since the pandemic began. The declaration allows the county to issue local emergency orders, although it didn't issue any yesterday. Franklin County highly recommends all residents get vaccinated, wear masks, wash hands, and practice social distancing. The state of emergency is set to remain in effect through New Year's Day. You're listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past eight. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Just ahead, fiber artist Barbara Todd says she only just recently started seeing color. And that's showcased in repeating simple quilts in her installation Parallel Play at the Lake George Arts Project. We'll hear more about it coming up in just a few minutes right here on North Country Public Radio.
Music by Saranac Project in Saranac Lake. Northern Light is supported by Barstow Subaru, Potsdam, committed to the safety and security of all-wheel drive. Details at barstowsubaru.com. And Adirondack Foundation and the Adirondack Birth to Three Alliance, dedicated to providing all children the best possible start in life. AdirondackBT3.org.
A 20-year-old Paul Smith's sophomore is headed to the Beijing Winter Olympic site. Aiden Rip will be participating in the Continental Cup. The competition is the pre-Olympic test of the venue. It takes place tomorrow and on Sunday. Rip will be competing in the Nordic combined events, which includes both ski jumping and cross-country skiing. And if he does well in Beijing, Rip will earn a chance to compete in the Olympic trials later this month in Lake Placid. Right now, Now his U.S. ranking is not high enough to qualify for the trials, but the 2022 Winter Olympics are scheduled to take place in Beijing in February.
A new exhibition called Native New York seeks to expand visitors' understanding of the Native American places in New York State. The exhibit is at the New York City branch of the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian. Celia Clark spoke with the exhibit's curator.
Gabrielle Tayek says the exhibition is meant to take visitors on a journey in New York State from a Native American perspective.
You know, we did want to have this sense of immersion. So the exhibit is, you know, it's actually beautiful and enticing because we're also looking at an intergenerational audience. We want people to be able to see the places that they think they know in a very different way.
Tayek says the challenge for visitors to see places differently begins where the exhibit is located, Manhattan.
The $24 mythology of the sale of Manhattan, the idea that Manhattan is also a native word, Manahata, which means the place for gathering hickory.
From Manhattan, visitors are taken to Long Island, land of the Shinnecock Nation, and up to the Bronx, where Mohican warriors died in a Revolutionary War ambush. Tayek says the exhibit goes west to Niagara and east to the traditional lands of the Mohawk people.
You have this Confederacy, Haudenosaunee, which can span between what's called the Eastern Door at Mohawk, which then allows for the relationships up and down the Hudson with the Mohican people in the Hudson Valley through Lenape lands that come out to the coast and then can branch you all the way into what's now called New England.
The exhibit was put together in collaboration with Native people from all the nations of what's now New York State. Some, like the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians in Wisconsin, are descendants of people forced off their homelands in New York and New England. Tayek says the exhibition is for them, too.
It delves into truth and hard truth and reality, and it also looks at the celebration of it, you know, being able to have people come together in the places that their ancestors have walked.
The show isn't just about the past. Native Americans are part of New York's culture today. Part of the show is about the meaning of lacrosse to Mohawk people. Another highlights Native American iron workers who helped build modern skyscrapers and bridges. Tayek says it matters that Native people are telling their own stories throughout the exhibit. Hearing those voices helps open visitors' eyes to what they might not realize is around them.
Let's start right where we are, not just like physically, but also maybe where you are, where visitors are, conceptually, mentally. You know, we always have to do the unlearning with the learning with Native history and information because the stereotypes are so huge.
Tayek says she hopes visitors will leave the show eager to learn more about Native American people wherever they live. The exhibit is now a permanent part of the New York City branch of the National Museum of the American Indian. Celia Clark, North Country Public Radio.
You're listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. Good morning. It is 8:14. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. In just a minute, we'll get the trail conditions in the Adirondacks from John Warren. And after that, a music preview of a show coming up this evening. But first, I'm excited to introduce you to an Albany-based fiber artist who has turned her commute along the Northway into inspiration for her art quilts. So lately, Barbara Todd has been making these simple quilts, often just two rectangles of solid colors sewed together to make a square. And this is kind of new for her, because even though she's worked with fiber all of her life, she says it's only recently that she started to see color. We'll hear more from her about that in a few minutes. But so she's arranged these simple block color quilts into a layered installation at the Courthouse Gallery of the Lake George Art Project. There's a lot of little squares that she installed in a grid pattern on the large white wall, a few medium-sized squares framed and hung at eye level, and a few floor-to-ceiling quilts, too. And her show is called Parallel Play, because in a way, these are three shows working independently of each other, but she's layered them all together. So I caught up with Todd to talk about her installation, her inspiration, and her process.
The Courthouse Gallery is a real gem for a modest one-person exhibition. I was happy to include my quilts, which is something I've always done and it would have been maybe expected, and the smaller framed works. And that would have been an okay show, but with all these small, tiny pieces, it changed it really from an exhibition into an installation, because it could only happen the way it is there now in this particular space. I made a model of the gallery where 1 inch to 1 foot, so I could play with how it would work out. If you just had one of my little 5 by 5 inch pieces, you would think, well, that's just two pieces of fabric stuck on a background. What's that about? But once you look a little bit longer and you maybe look at the one beside it and compare it to that one, then you notice all kinds of things. So it builds. And I use repetition a lot. And many artists use repetition a lot. The whole can be greater than the sum of the parts, or it can just be the sum of the parts. And you never really know. And I feel like in this particular installation, it became more than this I could have ever dreamed of.
Why do you think you use repetition?
Well, I love simple forms. And I think that the simpler the forms, the more you can see when comparing one to another, the more subtle the differences you can see. I do love the quote from the sculptor Carl Andre, that interesting parts don't necessarily make an interesting whole. And in a way, that's what I'm doing. I'm making many uninteresting parts, but then when they come together, that's what's interesting.
You had a pretty significant switch in the last 10 years, when you said that you started to see color.
For many years, I worked with woolen suiting fabric. And if you look at men's suits, you really don't see a ton of color. There's browns and grays and blacks and navies. So I saw mostly in terms of dark and light. But then I started to teach a weaving class at Emma Willard.
That's a preparatory school in Troy, correct?
Yes, it's a prep school for girls, a high school. And gradually, I noticed more and more what the girls were doing with color, and I was encouraging them, of course. So that was the beginning. And then I took a class with the artist and professor David Hornung, and he just blew my head open, because I could think of color in terms of vibrant color, like when we think of red, we think of bright red. But he had these categories, and one category down from the brilliant colors was muted color. And then the next one was chromatic gray. And chromatic gray is anything with color in it, but you almost don't even know what color is in it. So it's never just brown. It's a red brown or a yellow brown. So I really started to pay attention. And I was also at that time still commuting to Montreal, and I was commuting through the Adirondacks up the I-87 and down. And I was thinking and seeing and noticing things that I'd never noticed before.
That commute to Montreal and back on I-87, it seems like it was pretty significant for you. You started taking pictures of what you saw, correct?
Right, yeah. One day the sky would be one color, and I took pictures a little bit indiscriminately. Many of my photographs, you would look at them and you wouldn't even know why I took the picture. It could be totally banal.
One picture in particular was like part of like an orange bungee cord that was kind of stuck in a really gray wall. Really things you wouldn't think to take pictures of.
Exactly, exactly. But there may be things that we notice in passing and then we just forget about because they're not important to our lives or our whether we eat or not. But then I had all these images and I had been collecting fabric for my whole life, really. And I began to use the photographs to inspire the simplest abstract quilt. From that, I began to make smaller pieces that were just about a foot square with only two colors. And then from that, during COVID, I started to make tiny collages with two fabric swatches.
And based on the colors that you were seeing in these photographs.
Right. Most of us can look back on a week or even a day in our lives, and we can't remember what we did. So in a way, with these little pieces, I was holding on to moments, and yet once they're completed and up on the wall, no one really needs to know what those moments were, but they're little sparks of color in the installation. And just like we all have little sparks in our day to day. And so what I hope for a viewer to experience is color and light and to be surrounded in this environment and really to have, we've got so much darkness and so much worry right now in with COVID and with winter coming. I wanted to give an antidote to that.
That was Barbara Todd, a fiber artist based out of Albany. Her work is currently on display at the Courthouse Gallery at the Lake George Arts Project. She'll be on hand next Saturday, December 11th, for anyone who visits the gallery. And she says she plans to bring snacks called Weaver's Cookies. She says they have a lot of fiber in them because weavers are usually pretty stationary and need the extra fiber to keep moving.
It's 8:22, and this is Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio, supported by Cloud Splitter Foundation, making grants to improve the environment, economies, and lives of the people in the Adirondacks, online at cloudsplitter.org, and Keys Financial Services, with 30 years of experience with insurance, investments, and retirement plan services, located in Lake Placid. More info at keys-financial.com. It's a Friday, and here is John Warren with a look at outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks for the weekend.
There is some snow in the forecast, especially later Saturday. If you're headed out, be prepared for winter conditions. Carry traction devices and snowshoes and plan to encounter deeper snow and ice above 2,500 feet and wetter trails with some muddy areas below 2,500. Skis or snowshoes are required in the High Peaks Wilderness wherever snow exceeds 8 inches. Most of the Adirondacks has at least an inch or two of snow on the ground, more in the central Adirondacks. Expect about 6 to 8 inches in the Lake Placid and Saranac Lake areas, less towards Paul Smith's. Plan for about a foot or more snow at higher elevations of the high peaks, and about that much in some parts of northern Herkimer and Hamilton counties. Gore Mountain and Whiteface have opened for the season and will be adding some terrain this weekend. Titus is planning on opening Saturday. Oak Mountain near Speculator plans on opening Thursday, December 9th. The big news this season is the hopeful return of Hickory Mountain in Warrensburg, which is planning to reopen this year, weather permitting. Mount Van Hovenberg has some terrain open. Cascade will likely open this weekend with some limited terrain, but call ahead to be sure. Lapwin Lake down near Northville also plans on opening this weekend, but check in with them as well before you head out. There has been some backcountry skiing, notably on the golf courses in smoother terrain, such as the Hayes Brook Truck Trail. The Marcy Truck Trail has been skied, but everywhere, at least until Sunday morning, it's still early season conditions, rocky with bare spots and icy areas. The best bet this weekend for backcountry skiing will be on Sunday on the smoothest terrain in the Central Adirondacks. Rivers and streams are mostly running above normal for this time of year, especially in the high peaks, where some water crossings may be difficult or impassable. Waters are icing over around the region. Wherever you're headed this weekend, keep a close eye on the weather and be prepared for full winter conditions, including snow and ice. Forest rangers have already made several rescues this season of ill-prepared hikers and hunters. Those are the outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks this weekend. For North Country Public Radio, this is John Warren from the New York Almanac. Online at newyorkalmanac.com.
We want snow, snow, snow. We love snow, snow, snow. We need snow. There's nothing in the world that we like better than to turn on the radio and hear the weather say it's gonna snow all through the night. Wake up in the morning and oh, what a sight. Snow, snow, snow. We love snow, snow, snow. We need snow. First thing we do is go out to play. Shovel the walk, clear the driveway. Build a fort, have a snowball fight. Strap on our snowshoes, take a hike. Snow, snow, snow. We love snow, snow, snow. We need snow. We jump on our sleds, grab our toboggans, taking care we don't land on our noggins. We love to ski all day long, go through the woods singing this song. Snow, snow, snow. We love snow, snow, snow. We need snow. When the grass stays green, but all is not so serene. Life is transforming by degrees, but we will change. Save the chickadees. Snow, snow, snow. We love snow, snow, snow. We need snow. Snow, snow, snow. We love snow, snow, snow. We need snow.
Snow, that's the Rustic Riders with a seasonal song, and it's from their latest album. And you can catch the Rustic Riders live at Blue Sea Studios in Saranac Lake tomorrow night, Saturday, December 4th. It starts at 7 o'clock, $20 admission. It's a night of great music at Blue Sea Studios with the Rustic Riders, $20 per person. Now, you do need to call and in advance to reserve your ticket. There's limited space, and proof of vaccination must be shown at the door. Masks are required, so you can give the folks at Blue Sea Studios a call, 518-891-3799. Also, their web address is blueseedstudios.org. That's the Rustic Riders tomorrow night, Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Blue Seed Studios in Saranac Lake.
And they also have other events coming up, too. Lisa and Klaus Meissner of the Rustic Riders are known for doing a lot of school and library programs, from Quinn Elementary School in Tupper Lake to the Saranac Lake Free Library. And also coming up next weekend, they'll be doing a songwriting workshop for teens at the St. Lawrence County, at the St. Lawrence Arts Council Arts Center at 6 Raymond Street in Potsdam. That's at 1 tomorrow, next Saturday afternoon. You can find out more at rusticriders.net. And following that, there will be a family holiday concert featuring new and traditional seasonal music. You can find out more again at their website, rusticriders.net.
Jazz pianist Larry Hamm and with his trio is coming to the Adirondacks a week from Saturday, Saturday, December 11th. It's presented by East Branch of the Friends of the Arts. Jazz pianist Larry Hamm and his trio, Saturday, December 11th, 7:30, Keene Valley Congregational Church. A $10 donation is suggested. Students are free. And again, you must be fully vaccinated and wear masks while in the church. And if you want more information, you can check out the website, eastbranchfriendsofthearts.com. That's it for Northern Light.
Morning Edition continues in just a few minutes. Then later this morning between 10 and 11 o'clock, a conversation about why domestic misinformation is America's greatest election security threat. That's coming up on Point later this morning between 10 and 11.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Be well.